Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm Rob Pannier, joined once again by my good buddy Kevin Luco. We have a special edition for you tonight as we welcome the Executive Director of the American Association, Josh Buchholz, to join us. Josh, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Robbie, Kevin, thanks for having me on.
Well, Josh, big news out of the league today, a press release issued by the league. Before we just jump into that, I just wanted to kind of step back for a moment and give kind of a special thanks on behalf of Kevin and I on the great work that you and Josh did this season of getting the American Association to play baseball. An exciting season, a great championship series.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work. We sort of stood at the top of a pyramid here, but there's a lot of people that made this work, whether teams that were participating or not participating, the players, the coaches, coaching staff, front offices, medical personnel. You know, there was a lot of people that bought into what we were doing, and be able to dream up a scenario where we can actually play, put it into action in 3 weeks, and see it through to a championship is pretty rewarding. I think the talent level was great in the league. I think the quality of baseball was great. I think our new streaming service certainly was worth its weight in gold this season, with fans not being able to come in. We had great viewership in Winnipeg, especially. The only way they were able to see their ball club was on TV. So, a lot of things fell into place for us, and we certainly dodged a couple bullets here and there, but for the most part, we've had total buy-in from our clubs, total buy-in from our players. I think everybody recognized and realized how fortunate we all were to be doing this summer. There's a lot of people that were obviously at home and not able to do their work, whether it was baseball or working in an office or in a restaurant or a bar or wherever. A lot of people found this summer to be a little bit, a lot different than normal. So for us to have a little bit of normalcy, to do the things that we're good at doing and that we do for a living, we're certainly fortunate. So thanks, really.
No, I just think it speaks volumes for what you guys did by the quality of players that felt like, hey, this is a safe thing to go do. There's a lot of good players that came in to play even after the league started this year. So I think that's a big chunk of what you guys did.
I would agree. I think there was a bit of a prove it factor, probably from players and fans. And I think, as the time went along, you started to see attendance tick up in most of our locations. And the quality of play, continued to get better. Obviously, there's challenges bringing in new players with, it's not just sign them, put them on a plane at 6 a.m. and have them in the lineup that night. It was PCR testing and clearances with medical personnel, and there's a few more steps that went into it. So sometimes it was a 3 to 4 to week long process to get a new guy in. But yeah, it was, like I said, it was total buy-in from everybody involved. And we were sort of fortunate that we were able to bring baseball to America and to have our fans, at least a limited number of fans in our stands, enjoying a night at the ballpark. There's nothing more normal in American life than that. And that was one piece of normalcy that we can bring in a very unnormal summer. So hopefully we never have to deal with it again. Hopefully by next summer we are relatively back to normal. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that's what we're hoping for. But at least we now have this year under our belt, and we can fix some things that maybe we want to fix. It wasn't a whole lot. I think we followed our protocols to a T. Our players bought in, and we'll just sort of evaluate where we're at as we go through the winter and early spring, and hopefully all systems go in May next year.
Josh, can I ask you a little bit about the American Association TV, which I thought was great, the ease of getting around and that you could go look at past games without any issue. Of the videos that were put out by all the teams were fantastic. Were you finding that the numbers were increasing as going along? What was kind of the fan response to that?
Well, I think anytime you change, you're going to have a little blowback, and, you know, this is the first year that we charged for this product, but in order to go to a better platform, and I mean, there's just built-in costs that are there, and, you know, we're a business at the end of the day, and we're, you know, we're trying to provide some revenue for our clubs, and we value our product, and previous regime felt it was best to do free TV. We feel that the subscription model works better, because of what we, like I say, what we value our product as. So, you know, at the end of the day, the viewership was good. You know, the intent is to open up the access, following the live broadcast, usually the next morning, for people, non-subscribers, to go and be able to watch. And I think we'll continue down that road. All the games that are in the archives will be free all off-season, so if people want to get their baseball fix, they'll be up there. And then, you know, we're talking right now about what does our subscription package look like for next year and how do we want to handle that. That's one of our, you know, as we come into our fall meetings, those are things that we'll talk about. But yeah, we were very pleased with Vimeo. That was something that we went with. We went through a giant consulting project on all of our technology stack. And when we were dealing with streaming and going to a new streaming provider, Vimeo was the name that through several different consultants came to the top. And you know, we did our due diligence on it. We're happy with the product. I mean, we'll tweak the site. There's some things just living in it, you know, for summer. I did a lot of the hands-on work. So living on the backside of it, especially, there's definitely some things I think we'll clean up and make it even simpler to use. But yeah, the access on phones and tablets and on the go was fantastic. I opted by myself, pulling up games on my phone if I was at the lake or if I was out on the back patio or wherever, just to kind of check in and how quickly things loaded and how quick you could figure out what's going on. It was great. So, yeah, I think, you know, for the most part, everybody's pretty happy with AABaseball.tv.
You know, I saw myself as I was sitting at CHS Field once the Saints got back to St. Paul. I was using my subscription. I was pulling up one game on my phone, one on the computer, and I'm watching the one in front of me. And as much as I'd like to see the team back to the full circuit again with 12 teams, those 16s, I thought, wow, I got the whole league right in front of me right now.
Yeah, I need a few more screens next time.
That's right. Got to get like 3 tablets.
I'll talk to my employer about that.
Well, Josh, let's talk about the big news today. The American Association and Frontier Leagues make a deal with Major League Baseball to kind of partner on some activities. Tell us a little bit about what that means exactly.
Sure. Commissioner Manfred has, since he took over, I think it was 2015, has had this vision of one baseball where Major League Baseball serves to get at the top of the pyramid, and all of the baseball falls under the overview of the commissioner's office of Major League Baseball. This is part of that process. This regime has always valued independent baseball. They've seen what we do. They've seen our stadiums. They've seen our operators. They know that this product is not a step down for a lot of people to go to independent baseball, but there's this negative connotation with quote unquote indie ball that has sort of prevailed from the 90s and was put out there really by Major League Baseball and some people in Major League Baseball. As independent baseball has grown, as our leagues have evolved, look at, you know, where the American League started in 1993 to where the American Association is today. It's really nice day with our facilities, our location. You know, at the time, Miles Wolf and his group brought baseball into what was essentially a baseball desert. Where it looks at the map, and where's the biggest hole in the map where there's no affiliated baseball? And they saw these cities. They saw, you know, Duluth, St. Paul, Thunder Bay, Fargo's and Madison and, you know, Sioux Falls, Sioux City, Rochester, you know, these medium to large size, you know, towns and metropolitan areas that had no minor league baseball, hadn't had it for 30 years. But they had a stadium where they could get a stadium and, you know, so they brought it in. But you look at, you know, where we're at now, when we're in, you know, Milwaukee and Chicago and Kansas City and Dallas and, you know, obviously still in St. Paul, still in our other markets, but just a large, just the larger metropolitan areas that we're in, major league territories, really. The league has evolved, and that has value to Major League Baseball. It's not as, you know, they're not looking at our clubs really as affiliates. This is a partnership. It's really more on the business side, somewhat on the on-field side as far as kind of streamlining the path to get players back to Major League Baseball who do wind up in our league or the Atlantic League or the Frontier League. And how do we do that? You know, through stats, through analytics, technology sharing or implementation of technology that's being used by major league clubs and putting them into independent ballparks to help identify players that really, you know, all of minor league baseball, the goal for major league baseball is to develop major league talent. That's what they see the minor leagues as a development tool. And they don't see independent baseball any different than they see their affiliated clubs as far as that goes. If they can find talent, then they're not really going to care if it came from St. Paul, if it came from Rochester. Twins AAA. It's just they're pretty agnostic to those things. So they're looking for talent. This is a way of sort of broadening the talent pool, and that's a way to sort of bring us in the fold. And, you know, as I said, partner with our league and the other league to, you know, sort of make baseball as good as it can be in the United States and Canada.
Well, Josh, let me ask you, because I don't know if you can answer that at this particular point, but, you know, the Saints had the Twins sent over their tracking program to have up there because their players were practicing at CHS Field, their taxi squad group, and Kansas City, I'm sure they did the exact same thing. The Royals did that there. Does this kind of, this partnership mean that we will see that technology in every one of the ballparks so major league organizations can track things like velo and all that other stat crazy stuff they love?
I think that's the hope. That's certainly what we would like to see for our clubs, and as we go into negotiation. And we're going to negotiate all the final details out of this, you know, over the next probably 60 to 90 days. That's certainly one thing we want to see. It's a sharing of technology and almost a subsidization of technology. Hopefully it rings true to Major League Baseball to put that in all of their ballparks. I think there's obviously high value to that. It's not only the Major League teams getting access to that. We want our players to have we want our staff to have access to that. And yes, you got a taste of it at St. Paul with the track band system that the Twins put in there. I would very much hope and it's the top of our list of things that we want to see in all of our ballparks, and that's certainly the one thing that'll be in the discussion.
Now for Joe Sixpack and his American Association concerns. What does this mean for fans who are watching the league? Is there going to be like any direct, situation for them where they would see a Major League Baseball kind of impacting the game within the American Association?
I wouldn't really say impacting. I think you may see an uptick in talent just because of the association and perception and really the reality of how much Major League Baseball wants to work with our leagues to identify talent and have places for talented players to play and continue to play when maybe there's not a spot at a time for them on an affiliated roster. I remember when we were building teams in Fargo, you call a guy, double-A guy or triple-A guy, and he's like, I'm not playing any ball. You know, there's kind of that connotation. I think having a partnership, direct line with Major League Baseball maybe helps knock down that sort of final wall, that perception that going to indie ball is going down. When really our ballparks, our operators, our day-to-day operations are as good, if not better, than most affiliated situations. That's what people don't necessarily understand. And there shouldn't be a negative connotation to independent baseball. It just means there's one more step you have to take to get to get to the major leagues. You got to get back to an organization, and then you go to the major leagues instead of being in. But the level of play will be very good. I think it'll be as good, if not better, than it was in 2019. I think every year we sort of tick up a little bit on talent, and I think this is really a shot in the arm for all three of our independent states to maybe identify some talent that would otherwise maybe retire because they didn't want to play independent. And now they see that Major League Baseball believes in them, so you know, let's give it a chance. You know, let's see what it's about. And a lot of times we get guys in the independent ball that maybe were hesitant at first, and they get here and they love it. So number one, they're still playing. Number two, for the first time in their pro career, they're playing games to win. They're not playing because, you know, they can play third base while they're trying to develop a, you know, a shortstop next to them. And he may not be worthy of the at-bats he gets, but he gets them anyways, you know. In our league, we play to win, and that's going to be a big focus of our marketing moving forward, I think, is differentiating ourselves from affiliated baseball, where the wins and losses maybe don't matter as much as development, where in our league, it's going to still be about wins and losses and having that instinct to go out and help your ball club and help win games. And I think there's something to be said in that. I think that's part of development as well. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think for our fans, I think you'll see an uptick in talent. If they're into stats and technology and those things, I think they'll notice those things around ballparks. So, assuming everything, you know, falls into place as we think it's going to. But as far as the day-to-day ballpark experience, you know, I don't think it's going to be anything major that most people are gonna notice. You know, you may see the old Harmon Killebrew silhouette logo around the ballpark, which would be cool. We'll certainly, you know, are excited to be able to use that mark in the work that we're doing. And, you know, we're just looking forward to sort of seeing how we can expand this. And, you know, some of the big things that are going to be probably coming down the pipe are more on the business side where, you know, leveraging Major League Baseball's marketing, power, throughout now, it'll be shared through Major League Baseball and through our league. So, obviously, there's great and tremendous value there for our ball clubs, and those are the things that we're really excited to sort of dig into as a league and see what kind of some things we can get ourselves into.
Now,
I'm going to see where teams are going to be loaning players to American Association teams like we did this year. And if so, is it going to be where, like, they're assigned teams like St. Louis, team would be Sioux Falls, and Twins would be St. Paul? Or is it just pretty much whoever your connections are?
No, at this point, that hasn't really been talked about. I don't necessarily anticipate that. I think they'll still run through typical waivers, but, you know, we'll see how these negotiations go, but I think teams, if it did go down that road, I think you would have to do some geographics, but, you know, when you have 30 major league teams and you have 14 or 12 or 10, you know, American Association clubs, and then you've got frontier league clubs, and then you've got Atlantic League clubs, and, like, you know, how do you divvy up who goes where? And, I mean, there's a lot more that goes into it than just loaning, but, you know, I wouldn't say it's off the table, but it hasn't been a main topic of conversation.
And will the roster rules go back to what we had in 2019?
That's the plan, yeah. Yeah. Maybe with a slight tweak, but it won't be wide open. I think part of our league DNA is that rookie program and you know, being able to identify young guys. And if the MLB draft is going to cap at 20 rounds, there's going to be a lot of good college players that are out there and available. And I think having those rookie slots is going to be important. And I think MLB will be focusing on those types of players quite a bit. So I think it's still crucial for us to have those spots on our roster. I like high quality baseball. That doesn't mean that you can't have young guys on there that are learning their trade with older guys around. So, but I would anticipate that we'll go back to something very similar to 2019. It might not be exactly the same, but I think there's, I think what we've had in the past has worked, and I think it's a good niche for us. And, you know, I would be in favor. If I had a vote, I would be in favor of going back to that.
You know, with 20 fewer rounds, too, that's 600 player if I get him drafted, I'd say it's going to be a little easier now to fill out those five rookie spots in the roster than it's been in the past, too.
I would say so. I would say so. And if they push the draft back to July, then, you know, you've got a lot of guys that are, you know, maybe looking to play that get eliminated early from college postseason.
Josh, let me ask you.
It's gonna be, yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you, because when the Atlantic League kind of partnered with Major League Baseball, they brought in a number of rules that MLB would like to try out. Is that a possibility in the American Association?
I would never say never, but we've been very firm in our negotiations with Major League Baseball that we're not interested in doing that. We would only do things that benefited our league, and right now those aren't on our radar. You know, we like our brand of baseball. We like how we play it, and you know, we've not been pressured or been asked by MLB to do anything, and we've not agreed to any rule changes. So we may do some things down the road, but no, right now it's not. Those things are not on the table for us.
Now, as you partner Frontier League, in the press release is partnering with them as well. Atlantic League has already been partnering with Major League Baseball. Is there any kind of collaboration between the three independent leagues now in any way?
Well, we've been collaborating quite a bit for the last year. And I mean, these things have been, you know, this partnership has been in the works for about a year and a half at least. I know Josh sat down with Morgan Sorensen, at the Major League All-Star Game last year in Cleveland. That was sort of the kickstarter of conversations for our league. They both quickly found out they were kind of on the same page and what they were thinking, that just nobody had brought it up yet. And so that was sort of the start, knowing that, you know, they already had that agreement, but, you know, there's people in the Atlantic League that had much closer ties to Major League Baseball than we ever did. So, you know, you fast forward to the winter meetings, and all of a sudden we're in, you know, multiple meetings of Major League Baseball high level executives. When before we have to slink around and kind of sneak around the winter meetings because especially for persona non grata, all of a sudden, you know, we're being welcomed into sort of the inner chambers of the commissioner's office. And, so things happen really fast. And since, you know, really last fall, we've had quite a few, and as we're working through the pandemic stuff, weekly calls with the executive offices of the Atlantic League and the Frontier League, and everybody's on the same page. You know, everybody has different wants and desires for their leagues, and that's why we'll have separate negotiations on sort of the finer points of this partnership, and, you know, what the Frontier League wants may be a little bit different than what the American Association wants, which will be a little bit different than what the Atlantic League is doing. But at the end of the day, it's still a partnership from everybody's, you know, vantage point. And the group of executives that we have between Billy and Steve Tass from the Frontier League and Rick White in the Atlantic League and Josh and myself, you know, it's a very friendly, very cordial, very professional group of men who have, very similar visions of where we want to take our league. So, I would say our partnership has already been there. This sort of firms up where we've been trying to take our leagues for years, and it's been fun. It's been a fun journey to do it with those guys because they're all we've all been in independent baseball for a long, long time in different facets. And you know, I was just thinking today, about 25 years ago when I started, and I was a clubhouse guy. Here I am. quite a bit different from what I used to do. So it's pretty cool, and to be a part of it, and to, you know, I wouldn't put my reputation and my feelings about independent baseball on the line if I didn't think this was going to be a good thing. And there's nothing in this that should be connotated as a negative towards independent baseball. This isn't Major League Baseball imposing their will. This is us. You know, open-mindedly walking into a partnership with the largest baseball organization in the world. And they're welcoming us with open arms. And, you know, we intend to keep our autonomy and use some of their resources. And hopefully they have, you know, things that they can use from us. And that's what a partnership is. You know, we're going to give them some things. They're going to give us some things. At the end of the day, we're going to try and grow the game of baseball if we can.
What would you say, because there's been a lot of commenting on social media today, what would you say, because there's a couple fans that just flat out said, well, this is the end of independent baseball. Which to me, I think, is a pretty bold thing to say, but well, what would you tell a fan that would say something like that?
Nothing that they don't already think they know. So those are the ones that they don't understand it. They don't understand. And that's fine. They don't work in it every day. They don't live in it every day. You know, they're fans. Fans are entitled to their opinions. That's great. And at some point, we'll have that debate. At some point, you know what? They may go, see, I told you. And I might be wrong, but I don't think I'm going to be wrong. I think this is going to be a very positive thing for independent baseball. You know, maybe it won't even be called independent baseball anymore. Maybe it's just going to be professional baseball.
You know, we were talking about that before you came on.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know, we are professional baseball. There's no such thing as semi-pro. There's no, you know, you're either pro or you're not. And I think we've proven through the years, whether it's the Northern League or the Atlantic American Association, this group of owners and operators have proven that we are a premier professional baseball league in not only North America, but the world. And there's very few leagues as strong as we are from AAA on down. So I'll take our operators and our stadiums and our facilities and our players and our model, and I'll put it up against anybody, any day. And that's not going to change because Major League Baseball has, you know, because we're going to have some Major League Baseball logos or things like that. I think, you know, the fans that are predicting the death of independent baseball are probably a little premature on that.
Well, I want to ask you, Josh, you know, every year we get the wonderful debate about what's the best, quote-unquote, independent league. Could this potentially lead to some kind of championship between the leagues or something in some way?
Well, you know, the biggest issue with something like that, well, there's two issues. One's money. Well, you can kind of solve that with a partnership with Major League Baseball, right? They can help out a little bit, maybe. And the other thing is schedule. You know, the Atlantic League just goes longer. They go 2 weeks longer than they're 2.5 weeks longer than we do in the regular season. So it's hard to sort of line those things up. Could I see something down the road? We can line schedules a little bit better. Yeah. I could see something like that. This group of Major League Baseball, you know, they get a lot of grief, I think, because they have ideas and it's change and it's different. People don't like change. You know, people like things how they've always been. And sometimes change is good. Sometimes change doesn't work out, but sometimes you need to just try things. I would never say never to a you know, partner league tournament or anything like that, but again, it's not anything that's pressing. It's not going to be on the books probably for 2021, but down the road, you know, they may find a way to do a showcase of you know, some of the top teams from their partner league and you know, have some sort of playoff or a, you know, and into the season all-star series or something like that. I could see something down the road, but, you know, these guys have ideas. And, you know, it's all about growing baseball, having more baseball, giving more fans more options to view it. And whether it's Major League or Minor League or you know, our leagues, which are technically minor leagues but not affiliated minor leagues, I just think that's really the goal of what Major League Baseball is trying to do with all of these things, is showcase the game, get more people interested in it. I think you'll see more initiatives in cities and towns of growing the game at the grassroots level as we continue to move forward. I think that's always been a big goal of this regime, you know, Commissioner Manfred and his crew up there. So I think you'll see a lot more of those types of community outreach to continue to get athletes to want to play baseball, to get kids to want to try baseball, to get athletes to continue to play baseball and develop major league talent.
I understand the struggles you have, though, about the kind of the traditionalist view, because it's like a guy when the league decides to call their championship series the finals who just adamantly refuses to do that, you know, so I get that.
Do you ever try to type out American Association Championship Series multiple times?
I have, yeah.
So that's why you call it the finals. And I'm a hockey guy, so I changed that. That's on me, Rob. You can blame me on that.
No, I'm fine with that. I just Kevin and I were just ribbing each other the whole series long just because of that. So you know that
No,
my
it's all good.
Well, Josh, this sounds really exciting. I mean, this is you know, Kevin was mentioning a lot of people seem like this is the doomsday scenario, but this sounds like this is great for independent baseball, great for the American Association.
It is. It's a shot in the arm. There's no doubt. You know, for years we've yearned for legitimacy for Major League Baseball, and now it's here. And I just hope the fans keep an open mind. We do have a pretty good idea what we're doing here. We're not trying to blow up, you know, what Miles and you know, Bill Lee and in the Frontier League and the guys over in the Atlantic League started. When they started up their independent leagues, we're trying to grow it and to make it better and make sure that it stays around for a long, long time. And you know, that's at the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's about more baseball, more opportunities, you know, games for our fans that are affordable, that are fun, that are family orientated, and you know, where the outcome is not determined when you walk in the ballpark. That every game is great. That teams are held to equal standards, and you know, at the end of the season, we crown a champion, and everybody has a great time. So that's the goal. This is you know, this is our careers, this is our livelihood too, and we all feel very strong about what independent baseball is all about, and that DNA needs to stay. That's too important to give up, you know, no matter what the deal looks like. And this is, again, like I said, a partnership. MLB is very excited to work with us, just as we're excited to work with them. So, lots of positives coming. There'll be more details coming out. We're going to kind of answer some of those questions of what does this mean, probably through social media in the next day or two. You know, we'll put some stuff up there, try and answer some more questions directly. And, you know, I don't think it's anything anybody here. So, yeah, I think there's just a lot of positives all around.
That is excellent. Go ahead, Kevin.
You know, I was going to say, I just find it kind of amusing because some of the cynics are saying, well, you know, independent baseball, they're going to be just like Major League Baseball now. They're going to do all the stuff the Major League does. And I'm thinking, well, watch between innings of a Major League Baseball game. Major League Baseball has been doing what independent teams have been doing for the last 25 years. I'd say it's about time MLB paid back independent baseball a little bit.
I would agree. There's a lot of innovators in minor league baseball, and it's pretty funny how those things tend to trickle up sometimes when they see that fans actually like it, and there might be a little revenue to be made from it. So, you know, that's flattery when you see things like that at the major league level. Thank you that minor league operators have been doing for years. So, I take it as a compliment.
Well, that's pretty exciting, Josh. Kevin and I want to thank you a lot for spending a little time with us tonight and informing fans about what's going on.
You bet. Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Well, Kevin and I want to thank the Executive Director of the American Association, Josh Buchholz, for joining us tonight. Kevin and I will be joining you again on Sunday night as Sioux Falls Canaries manager Mike Meyer joins us to discuss a championship series, and he'll have his own insights about this big news today. So we'll hear what Mike has to say. So for Kevin, I am Rob Panier. We will see you next time on This Week in the Association.